Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Joan Rivers is bold, famously brash, super smart, glamorous, with a big no apologies assist from her plastic surgeon, and very, very funny. She's a comedy pioneer who at 75 is hardly ready to pass the torch. She's still staking out new ground, still asking, can we talk? This hour on Point, comedian and entertainment icon Joan Rivers. You can join the conversation. Has Joan Rivers kept you laughing through the decades, kept you cringing, both? What's your most memorable Joan Rivers moment? Joining me now from New York is Joan Rivers, comedian, Emmy Award-winning television talk show host, Tony-nominated actress, best-selling author, playwright, screenwriter, film director, columnist, and grandmother. Her new book is Men Are Stupid, and They Like Big Boobs, A Woman's Guide to Beauty Through Plastic Surgery. And out in February, her new mystery, her first, Murder at the Academy Awards. Joan Rivers, welcome.
Delighted to be here. Hello, hello, hello.
Is plastic surgery at 75, is there no age at which you get over it, or is it just bigger than ever, Joan?
It's bigger than ever. When I was doing the statistics for the book, I mean, they just keep growing. There is no recession for plastic surgery physicians. Absolutely none.
Is there a statute of limitations, a point at which a woman says, okay, I'm 75, I'm 85, I'm 90, I'm 100, enough?
It depends on the woman. I have a niece who doesn't want to ever do it. That's her choice. I will do it as long as I'm in the public eye and I look in a mirror and I don't like what I see. That's my choice.
We've got so much we want to hear from you. I'd just love to get your theme from this book out there right off the bat. You've got a little bit right at the beginning. I wonder if you'd be kind enough to read for us, Joan.
Okay. Welcome to my world. Okay. Politically incorrect or not, let's face it, men are stupid. They can't help it. They are wired to procreate, and Mother Nature has doomed those poor things. They're attracted to creatures that are their opposites, with hairless bodies and big boobs and slim waists and rounded butts. And this has been the beauty ideal for many women who aspire to achieve only this. And why not? Aren't we past the age of, I can do everything, I don't need a man? Nowadays it's, I can do everything and I want a man. And I also want to be beautiful. Or some of us, it's, yes, I'm smart, and yes, I'm educated, and yes, I still want to feel the thrill of looking into the mirror and liking what I see. When people used to say a woman was smart, it was a nice way of saying she was ugly. Beautiful women were often assumed to be stupid. These days, smart means just that, smart. And beautiful means just that, beautiful. And no one cares how a woman got that way, just as long as she is. I think women shouldn't settle for less than being both smart and beautiful. And for many of us, having it all means getting a nip or a tuck or a little lift now and again. Why? Because it makes us feel good.
Joan Rivers reading from her new book, Men Are Stupid and They Like Big Boobs, not to put too fine a point on it. What's the reaction you're getting, Joan? I mean, you've got all kinds of
amazing,
very practical advice in here.
Well, the book is very funny. Obviously, because I wrote it, but it's also totally serious. I mean, I take them through each and every kind of procedure there is these days, right to vagina and butt lifts now. We go into arms and legs and facelifts and breast lifts and noses and lipo. And the reaction has been women are worried. They're not sure. They want to know what's going to happen to them. But they want it told to them by a friend, and that's really what this book is. I tell you everything, how much, how to find the doctor, what's going to happen to you, the downsides, which are very serious. They can be very serious. But it's not a frightening book, and the reaction has been amazing. Amazing.
You say in here, unlike a dress that goes out of style or a diet that ultimately fails, a beautiful nose is forever.
Forever.
Whatever shape you want it to be. You know, but there's another line right after that, Joan, and it's important in here, but it also, in a way, goes to your comedy. You say here, you can get mad. You're speaking of women here. You can get mad or you can get beautiful. What do you mean?
Oh, absolutely. You can get bitter. You can get angry. Why am I not the good-looking one? Why did God not give me a chin? Or you can say, you know something? God didn't give me a chin, but he did give me a plastic surgeon.
What about mad?
And you go and you get it.
What about mad at those men that you call stupid right in your title for wanting it just that way?
Tom, it's not your fault. You are geared to procreate, and your eye goes to what your eye goes to, and your eye, unfortunately for many of us, goes to a certain look. And if we want to continue the human race, we got to look a little more like that.
Are you mad? I mean, are you angry? Is anger
fueled your... I'm angry at the world. I'm angry at everybody. I'm furious.
I mean, I kind of suspect that's true. At the same time, you're very funny, and I sense a big soft spot under that. But you've always had a big wide streak of anger running.
I'm mad right now at Bernie Madoff.
Well, okay. Who's not? Did he make off with yours?
I'm really mad he never asked me. Because that divides you from being rich and being poor in New York.
Joan,
everyone sits around restaurants now and goes, Bernie, I lost a fortune with Bernie, and I have nothing to say.
Whether they were ever rich or not, it's a way of claiming you were once rich. I saw you with Deborah Solomon pleading with her to ask you about Bernie Madoff and how much you'd lost, a way of looking big. But I also read, Joan, preparing for this, that you were once $37 million in debt. Now, if you were that far in debt, you must be pretty rich on the other side. You've done okay.
No.
Come on. You can't get that far in debt unless you've got some treasure around somewhere.
No. This son of a...
Gun?
We're on radio, so get ready to bleep. This son of a bitch named Arthur Toll, who went to jail, took my company public, and I think it's what they call absconder with the funds. And in order to get my name and likeness back, I've spent the rest of my life paying off these bottom fishermen to get my name and likeness back. It was not a sad story because I can work and I do very, very well. Thank you very much. But this man, Arthur Toll, who went to jail for it, just took a poor widow.
But you know,
I was that poor widow.
A poor widow. Not so poor. I mean, you've done pretty well between all the concerts and QVC sales.
Yeah, but $37 million ain't in my pocket.
Yeah.
It's okay. No sad songs for me.
You say, in the old days before cosmetic surgery, the secret of staying young was simply to die earlier.
Yes. Absolutely.
Do you get women saying to you, come on, Joan, just be 75? You joke
yes,
that you wish
I
you had
do.
A twin so you know what you'd look like if you were 75 without the surgery.
Tom, I did a special, and we picked a woman to be me, my twin sister, without plastic surgery. And it was hilariously funny. Because my joke is, when I get to heaven, God won't recognize me. He won't know who the hell I am.
What do you think you'd look like without it? I mean, you've had two facelifts, and that's just the beginning.
Two facelifts in 75 years? Hardly what I call weekly. I probably would look a lot the way my mother looked. She was a very sweet-looking woman, but she was an old woman. She had jowls. She had a turkey neck at the end, miserably unhappy. She would swim with a scarf, you know what I'm saying? Her idea of a two-piece bathing suit at the end was a turtleneck and coveralls. I mean, and it was terribly sad.
What happened to Michael Jackson's nose?
That is a nightmare. I know the original doctor who did it, a man named Steve Hoffman, and he begged Michael not to do more. And Michael just, there's always a doctor, which I talk about in my book, check your doctors out, up and down. And Michael went to doctors that just took the money and kept doing it.
But he was super rich at that time. He must have had the best doctor out there. I mean, do you know what went wrong? It seems like there's not exactly a nose left there.
No, but you know, again, as I said, there's always a doctor who is willing to do something. You'll always find a guy that will do something. That's why be very careful who you use. But he loves it. He thinks he looks great, Michael, when he takes the masks off.
Do you find it hard to keep a grip? Like, is there always one more little procedure? What about this? What about that?
Absolutely. I'm in a business. Did you see the Golden Globes Sunday?
Yes,
did you
I
fall
did.
Asleep?
No, I watched. It was great.
Well, we'll talk later. But anyhow.
Hey, okay. You're a tougher
you right
critic.
Out. But the women are all beautiful. And if you're in the business, you just become very critical. It's almost like you're a third person. My husband used to say, you're all dresses on a rack. And you got to make sure your button's a button and you're tied and you look good. So somebody will take and buy the dress. And that's part of it is looking good.
You weren't.
And I don't mean looking good like a 20-year-old. I mean, I like to think that I am one of the great looking 75-year-old women that when I walk into a restaurant, they say, doesn't she look nice? Doesn't she look clean looking? The chin looks good. She doesn't look like an old potato sack.
And if not, she's off to the dock. You were not on the red carpet for the Golden Globes, but you've got a new mystery coming out of all things set on the red carpet. Murder on the red carpet, no less.
Murder at the Academy Awards, and we got two. How about this one? Great reviews.
I haven't seen him yet. I just cracked it open last night. The starlet on the red carpet is 19, and she's wearing?
Nothing, practically. She's wearing just a little thong and a, I've seen all this, and a bra, little tiny bitty bra.
And she dies basically in the arms of the red carpet fashion critic. That would be you or somebody like you, Joan Rivers.
Somebody very similar to me, but a lot younger.
Wow. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with comedian, entertainment icon, and TV personality Joan Rivers. She is out with two big new books. One, Men Are Stupid, all about plastic surgery. Another coming out in February, Murder at the Academy Awards. She joins us from New York. Worked the Borscht Belt in a tough circuit for a long time. Big break, 1984, as a guest host on The Tonight Show. Here she is.
Thank God you're a nice audience, because sometimes you come out here and you think, oh, they're going to be a bad audience, and then all the bad clubs I ever worked with come back in my mind, because I started out, I worked clubs, I worked a mafia club, we passed the hat, pieces of Jimmy Hoffa would come back.
Pieces of Jimmy Hoffa would come back. She's always out there with stuff that's simple, but also in everybody's life. And, well, if you're a fan, funny, here she is on tour talking about complications for women in public restrooms.
Tonight, at least, every woman once will have to go to a public bathroom, and at least once will have to paper a seat, because our mothers told us, don't sit down. Am I lying? Every woman in this room, when you go into a public bathroom, don't sit down. Paper, paper, paper. I have spent one-third of my adult life in some stupid bathroom going, paper, 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 paper. Then you turn around fast, all the paper, paper, paper blows.
And is she on the red carpet watching what everybody's wearing? You bet. Here she is on Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Elaine on Seinfeld, tough at the 2008 Emmys.
That simple, severe comb over. Luckily, she waxed her mustache because I know one of her neighbors, and they say when she lets it go for 2 or 3 weeks, she looks so much like Hitler that her Jewish neighbors really are scared to come out.
Oh, boy. Joan Rivers, do the stars talk to you? For heaven's sake, do they ever speak to you again?
Who cares? I'm not there for the stars. I'm there for the people, to make my people laugh. I always was an outsider. It's always about, I always say, if I was sitting next to a friend, what would we be saying to each other? And that's truly what my comedy has always been.
Pieces of Jimmy Hoffa come back when they passed that in the mafia clubs. How tough were, how rough, how down and dirty were the clubs you began in, Jim?
Well, I was so stupid. I was an Ivy League graduate. I went to private school all my life.
Barnard, English major, Phi Beta Kappa, no less.
The whole thing. And now I say to my parents, I'm going into the show business. And I played clubs that were just awful. But I was so stupid, Tom. I just walked through it, you know? I had my prom dress. I pasted sequins on it. And I would go out and just go walk among the strippers and walk among all these mafiosos, and all I cared about is, are they laughing on stage? So I was very lucky.
Why?
Never got involved in any of that.
Why was it so hard? I mean, you made it right up to the top, taking Johnny Carson's chair, but why was it so hard that first decade? That's a long time, Joan.
It was hard. Looking back, I never thought about it as hard because I was so busy working, struggling. I think a lot of it was I was a woman and I was a nice looking woman. In those days, we're talking now the 60s, you had to like the pretty one was a singer, the ugly one was the comic. And I was single. I would come out trying to look nice, my little black dress and my circle pin, and talk. And it was a big revolution in comedy, and they just didn't want to accept a woman that would say, I mean, I talked about having an affair with a married professor. People would faint in nightclubs.
just from that? What about your own family? Your father, nice Jewish doctor. What did he think when you left that track? And you married a businessman, divorced him, and then dove into all this entertainment.
Right. My sister was the youngest at that time woman graduate of Columbia Law School. So we were bright girls. They were beyond shock, absolutely beyond shock. And it took them a long time. Luckily, they both lived, my mother and my dad, lived to see me successful, you know. And that's terribly important, that they didn't think she's throwing this whole thing away.
We're going to talk a lot about it. Let's go to our listeners as well, if I may. Richmond, Virginia. Melanie, you're on the air with Joan Rivers.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, Melanie.
I just wanted to pay you a huge compliment because I think you started the whole red carpet, what are people wearing, you know, and fashion police, and you don't get your deserved credit for it. That's the reason I started watching those award shows in the beginning.
That's very sweet. And somebody said, I wish it were me, we turned walking into a building into an event, which we did. And it was so much fun in the beginning before they all had stylists, you know, Melanie, when they would pick their own dresses. So some look good and some look bad. Now they're all perfect, and it's so boring.
is it really? I mean, you still can't.
Well, they're
was
all perfect.
Bad?
The fun used to be Demi Moore would show up in bicycle shorts and a skirt that you would go, where? What was she thinking?
It sure wasn't that Sunday night at the Golden Globes. She looked pretty great.
Exactly, because they all went out and they got stylists and they began to borrow jewelry, and they all look amazing now, amazing. So a lot of the fun is gone. And when you do say things like I said about Judy Louis-Dreyfus, that she looked like Hitler, they're so upset.
I'm sure they are. Your new murder mystery, Murder at the Academy Awards, opens like this. Oscar night, Hollywood, the blaze of Klieg lights, the smell of perfume, jasmine, and fear in the air. I love it. What's the fear on that red carpet if they're all perfect now, Joan?
Oh,
of
the
you?
Fear is frightened. Not of the interviewers anymore. Frightened of me, yes, because they didn't know what I was going to ask. Now they all ask the same six questions. Who are you wearing? Are you carrying a lucky charm? You know, is it true you're going to get married? I mean, stupid questions. The fear is really where you are in the hierarchy, because I will be talking to a Tom Hanks, and in my ear they'll say, dump him, we got Tom Cruise. So the fear is always, where am I in the pecking order? These poor celebrities know they're going to get shoved if somebody bigger comes behind them.
Let's go to Adrian in Salem, New Hampshire. Adrian, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Joan. I've loved you forever.
Oh, thank you, Adrian.
But I have to ask you about Nicole Kidman. Now, years ago, you said, oh, here comes Nicole Kidman in the ugliest green dress I've ever seen.
Yes.
But we loved it.
I know.
We thought
it was
that
a Christian
dress was
Dior.
Glorious.
It was glorious. It was glorious, but it was also pea green like pea soup.
But it was Chinese design. We all went gaga.
I know, but that's the fun of the award shows.
Yes.
That you could look at someone and you could say, if you saw the Golden Globes this year, Heidi Klum looked like she fell off of seals. She like an ornament that came off a seal's Kwanzaa tree.
But what
I
about
hated
Drew
the
Barrymore?
Dress. What?
What about Drew Barrymore in that?
What about Drew Barrymore?
That blue gray dress.
Bow wow wow.
That was fabulous.
See, here we go.
I guess the debate never ends.
We want you back, Joan. We want you back.
Adrian, I want you sitting next to me at the next award show.
Oh, all right, Mama.
Thank you.
Joan, can you...
See, that's the fun.
Yeah, it's the fun right there. No, I get it. It's spectator sport, and everybody's into it. But doing that job on the red carpet must be tough. You write about the battle scars that come with it in Murder at the Academy Awards. Describe those. What's the tough part?
Tom, in this book, Murder at the Academy Awards, I have told everything that has happened. You literally have fist fights. I punched a woman from BBC America because she had one arm of Nicole and I had the other arm of Nicole, and Nicole was my get first. And she was pulling her away, and I turned and punched her and said, later, right on the air.
You say it's cutthroat with such jackals as Diane Sawyer and Charlie Gibson in Hot Pursuit. I kid you not, you're right. But you don't want to get near an elbow with Charlie running after Jennifer Lopez. What, he who anchors the evening news now?
Charlie can be a killer if Jennifer Lopez's ass is in the way. Absolutely. You lose because at the end of the night, all they say to you when you walk off, you only talk to 32 celebrities. Charlie talked to 38, so we didn't do as well. And so it's a question of getting those celebrities and the tension. And you have people on the red carpet pulling poor George Clooney one year. They ripped his dinner jacket, pulling him over.
Ripped the jacket, and in her book, you've got tall, slender, stunning Halsey standing on the red carpet. She'd remembered to do her hair. She'd remembered to do her makeup.
Yes.
She'd forgotten to put on her clothes.
Well.
Uh-oh, and pretty soon she's dead. AK, calling from Augusta, Georgia. You're on the air with Joan Rivers.
Hey, Joan, how are you?
How are you?
Great, great. Hey, I just wanted to say that I'm 40 years old. But I really, really respect your hustle. I respect the fact that you don't let anybody push you around. You've been knocked down, but you've stood back up and just knocked the dirt off, and you keep on being funny and making people laugh. I mean, in times like this, when a lot of people are being taken advantage of, you know, we need some humor. And, you know, you've been making people laugh for a long time. And I really respect you, and I love your work. And I haven't read your book yet, but I'm sure it's a great book. And I just want to say, just keep on doing what you're doing.
Big ups from Augusta, Joan. Thanks, AK.
That's so sweet. I'm going to stay here and just take compliments. It's so nice. Now someone's going to come on and say, I hate you. I've always hated you.
That is entirely possible.
I know.
You've always said that you succeeded by saying what everyone else is thinking. Really?
Yes.
Or do you push it?
Of course I push it. But, you know, I work all the time. I just worked last night in a little place called the cutting room, and now I'm working in a place called the slipper room in New York once a week, and I say what you're thinking, and of course you push it, but the fun is saying, can you believe this, or take a look at that, or Hillary Clinton is this. The only one they won't do jokes about yet, they won't let me do jokes about yet, is Obama. We still all adore him. So that's the only person that if you even try to say something, even about the dog, you can't do it yet.
You know, I was wondering this week if maybe the door hasn't cracked open with the news that his mother-in-law, the formidable Marian Robinson, Michelle's mother, is going to live with them in the White House. Maybe that's the way to humor here. I mean, can't you see Saturday Night Live or Joan Rivers imagining her giving Barack what for after hours,
yeah,
or standing at the door of the Oval Office giving the evil eye to the, you know, Republican senator coming in? Can't you just see that?
Barack,
let me tell you.
Get off that table. Get off that chair. That's the good chair. The way a mother-in-law would talk to a son-in-law.
Huh? Maybe that's the opening.
I think a lot will be done about the dogs, the dog coming in. And I hope he's fabulous, as we all hope, because I hope we'll never be able to make jokes. We don't need it at this point.
Give us a little red carpet on Barack, on Michelle, on Hillary Clinton. I don't know if you watched her testifying yesterday.
Yes, I did. She needs an eye job desperately.
Really?
I am going to send her. Men are stupid and like big boobs. I don't want my Secretary of State to have it. She looks really tired. She looked terrible, I thought.
Maybe it gives her gravitas. Don't all leaders look tired after a while?
Yes. Even poor Bush. They showed the picture 8 years ago, and now they all age. Well, it's some tough job.
Michelle, Barack?
But it's a pretty house.
Yes, it is. Bill Clinton said he loves the yellow rug when they all got together there. He loves the new rug. What about the president-elect and the incoming first lady? Fashion tips?
I think he's wonderful. He's thin and he's going to look good. I hated the dress that she wore when they did the acceptance speech.
Because?
When he was nominated.
Nomination.
Was the election?
Okay. Well,
it was the election night.
Election night with sort of big red sunrises on it or something.
Oh, it looked like she sat in paint. You know, hurry, I got to change. No, we got to make the acceptance speech right now. Come on.
Somehow I bet she put on just what she wanted to. Let's go to Melinda in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Melinda, you're on the air with Joan Rivers.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, Melinda.
The trend, but I love you. I heard an old stand-up routine of yours on satellite radio the other day, and it was all about how you hated housework and hated cooking. And it struck me how things had changed since then. You know, really now, if you don't like cooking, you know, most of the couples I know, it's the man that cooks. And I was just wondering if you saw yourself sort of as a feminist that time, or are you just going for the laugh?
No. I never thought about it. I always was lucky enough to have parents, truly, who said, except show business, do what you want. If I had said to my parents, I want to be an astronaut, they would have said, do it. So I never was brought up, you should learn to cook. My mother brought me up on radio dinners. My mother couldn't cook.
What's a radio dinner?
Well, what's a TV dinner?
TV dinner, same thing. Peel off the foil or
throw peel off the foil and give it to the kid and hope she'll shut up. Hope her stomach will stop growling. And when I look back, I realize, of course, I was a feminist. I never thought, oh, a woman can't do that. Never, ever occurred to me.
But you were very tough on feminism over the years. You made joke after joke at their expense. I mean, you said again and again, you know, they're off. Why?
Well, they miss the point. They only now get the point, which I say again in my book. A woman can be smart and good looking. You know, there was a time where I remember sitting with Marlo Thomas, and she wasn't shaving her legs because she was a feminist. Oh, stop it! You look like a gorilla. Now go shave your legs. You know. They now understand a woman truly can have it all, because we can be the mother image, we can be smart, we can be beautiful, we can work if we want to. It's a great time to be a woman.
A great time to be a woman, says Joan Rivers. Let's go to Kate in Sudbury, Massachusetts. Kate, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Kate.
Joan, I just want to say I love you. I've always loved your comedy, and I applaud you for your endurance and how many years you've been in comedy.
Drugs.
That's awesome. And I just want to ask you, I'm 45, and I'm wondering if I should have, you know, plastic surgery now when I'm seeing wrinkles and, you know, the need to have something done, or should I wait and then have it done in, say, 5 or 10 years, and then everybody's going to know I had it done?
Exactly. Ah, smart. First
you know
of all,
I mean?
I never
I
say
it get done now where, you know, people say, oh, you don't really need it, but it's like, yeah, I do. You know what I mean? I have
yes.
A scar
have
on
you
my
had
forehead that I look like Ruth Buzzy. And, you
one
know,
guess
I,
what
I
Joan Rivers will say. One
I'm going to say that, first of all, have you had Botox? Have you done that?
No.
Well, go to a good, get my book, and I never say this, but get my book, Men Are Stupid Like Big Boobs, and listen and read. Get a great dermatologist. Do Botox first. That will take care of a lot of the wrinkles and the furrows in your forehead. And yes, I always believe do it earlier than later when they don't know. You are so smart, Kay. You don't want to look like Robert Redford. He walked down the red carpet and said, who the hell is that? Priscilla Presley, she had to wear a name tag. She waited so long to get it done. So you want to just, allegedly, by the way, I don't want to be sued. But it's better to get it done sooner than later, because then nobody will know. They'll just say, doesn't Kate look great? Has she been on a vacation? You know, all that kind of nonsense.
You say, maybe it's just success, you say in the book. But
yeah, or you just say, I'm just so happy these days. I guess it shows.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking with comedian Joan Rivers. She's out with a new book, Men Are Stupid and They Like Big Boobs, and a mystery coming out, what, next month, Murder at the Academy Awards. She's still going very strong. You can hear it at 75. How far will she push it? Well, listen right here. She's talking about those sexy Nazis.
And the Germans? I don't know how they lost World War II. They march. They're tall, they're thin, they're blonde, they're in leather. They don't look right, they don't look left. They march up the avenue. Oh, my God. Leather and blonde hair. I am Jewish. You give me a guy, leather and blonde hair, I forgive them. Anne Frank would have said, I'm in the attic. Yes.
She's on the edge. She's on the edge. And what about her heirs? Listen to this and just think about the lineage here. Sarah Silverman, there's not much we can play, but here's a little bit from an HBO performance in November 2006 to help Hurricane Katrina victims. But then she talked about her feelings on philanthropy.
I see these care commercials on television with the kids with the big bellies and the flies buzzing around their heads. And these are 1 and 2 year old babies. You know, 9 months pregnant, and it breaks my heart Thank you. And I don't give money because I don't want them to spend it on drugs.
Sarah Silverman there. Joan Rivers joins us from New York. Joan, you work a lot with your own daughter, Melissa, but is Sarah Silverman a kind of daughter of your generation? You're both pushing it there.
I'm just sitting here laughing out loud. She's hilarious. Kathy Griffin is hilarious. Lynn Koltz is a very young one that's coming up that's just brilliant. I mean, there are a lot of them that are just outspoken and hilariously funny.
What do you think of Tina Fey?
Brilliant. So funny. So funny. I think she took the election for Obama with what she did with Sarah Palin. No question about it.
And you, irresistible Nazis, blonde in leather. I mean, how does that go down, Joan?
Well, it goes down just fine. I also talk about all kinds of things that people are shocked at. I talk about some of the widows at 9/11 that were very happy to get the $5 million check rather than the husband home. And don't tell me there's not one woman out there in 2,000 widows that that had a marriage that wasn't so wonderful. That when she got the $5 million check, she didn't think, well, as long as it was fast.
It must have rained trouble on you when you said that, though.
It still does. But it's also true. And they had this big article, I think, a year ago in the New York Post, where they showed all these widows who were living it up after 9/11 with the money.
Talk about guys that might be hard to work with. You're going to be on Celebrity Apprentice 2.
Celebrity Apprentice.
With Donald Trump. Here's a nugget from Trump about the advantages of being famous.
One of the advantages of being a celebrity is that you can call in favors. People want to be around famous people, and they want to do favors for famous people, even if it costs some money.
Donald Trump, you, Joan, and your daughter, I think Melissa as well, are both going to be on there. Are you going to have this guy with his, talk about severe comb-overs, shaking his big fat finger at you?
Let me tell you, he is, have you had him on, Tom? He is so smart. I went in very
iffy. I missed that.
I
don't know how. Yeah?
Yeah, I went in, telling you, you'll be surprised. I came out of that show adoring him. He is so smart. He knows just where it's at. He knows the comb over is his look. You know what I'm saying? The way Groucho Marx had the glasses and the nose.
It's a helmet.
He knows what it is. He is a smart man.
Is that your kind of
guy? I have
great respect
for him.
I was wondering, Joan, you don't seem to go for all your plastic surgery. You don't seem to go for younger guys exactly.
Ugh. So, I do not want to wake
I mean, do you
up
still
in the
go for macho yeah. guys, big boss Donald Trump
no.
guy?
Oh, God, no. Oh, I like very English men. I like my husband, the man I lived with after my husband for a while. They look like diplomats, somebody once said. They all look like you go right out with a diplomat. Very elegant men. I like them. English. I like Englishmen.
Your husband, and this may be tough, but you joked about it early after it happened. He famously committed suicide.
Yeah.
You worked it into your routine within days or weeks and had a big falling out with your daughter as a result. What was that all about?
Well, making the joke about Edgar's death?
Yes,
or
for starters.
That's how I get through everything. I know my last words probably will be, are you kidding? Somebody's murdering me or something. I do everything with humor. And I said in my act very early on that my husband killed himself and it was my fault because we were making love and I took the bag off my head. And that was it.
And what
From
did your daughter say?
Window.
Your daughter, who knew you well, that was too much for her. You had a long estrangement.
It was a long estrangement. It was over a year and she kept thinking that I could have stopped it. And I work, now we're getting serious here, mm-hmm. I work very hard for suicide survivors because the family is wrecked when someone kills themselves. And you cannot stop a suicide. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. They're going to do it. And my daughter absolutely thought that I could have prevented it. I could have prevented it. And she just wouldn't listen for a long time until she came to her own, mm-hmm. her own peace.
So it wasn't the joking afterward, it was what had unfolded before that
It was
her?
Just, as I said, what it does to a family because it's not natural mm-hmm. and the guilt you have and the pain you realize the person had to go through to take their own life. I mean, it's a very complicated thing that happens to the family.
Do you see, in your case, I mean, you're very self-aware, do you see it as healthy or psychosis that it all comes out through comedy with you? Is that a healthy thing for someone like you? I'm not a comedian. I don't know.
Truly, if you can laugh at it, you can deal with it. You know, something you're so frightened of, if you make a joke about it, you're almost on top of it now. And I find that's how I get through life. If you're laughing, you'll get through anything. You know, the New York Times had an article that said 100 laughs a day.
Yeah.
Absolutely keep, will add like, if you do this every day of your life, will add like 5 years onto your life. And I truly believe that.
No matter what, I guess. Let's go to Tim in Naples, Florida. Tim, you're on the air with Joan Rivers.
Joan, how are you doing? Good to talk to you.
I'm doing great, Tim.
Good. I just want to say thank you for being on tonight's show. When you were, you know, when I was younger, I used to listen to that all the time. I had a very lonely childhood. And when I found out you were going to be on for a week or two sometimes, I just made my day and made my evening. And I thank you so much for that.
How nice is that? That's so nice.
What was it about Joan in particular, Tim?
I just want to say also, not all men are stupid. I'm gay, and I could care less about big boobs. So.
Yeah. Well, as long as you don't have them.
But no, I just want to say thank you so much, and keep up the good work, and 100% agree with you with laughter is the best medicine. I wish I could laugh a little bit more, but I'm working on it.
You just, so Tim, everything is funny and stupid, and that's how you have to go through life. It's all silly, and it all doesn't mean a damn thing.
You've got a big gay following, Joan. Tim, thanks for your call.
Thank God.
What do you make of it? Why? Why you?
I think gay men are so amazing. They are funny. They are sensitive. They love strong women. You know, Liza. You know, they love Liza. They love me. They love Barbara Streisand.
Minnelli.
They love Kathy Griffin. I mean, it's just terrific. And they get all the jokes. I walk out, if I see six gay men in the audience in the front row, I'm going to be in Key West tomorrow night performing. And if they're going to be gay men in the front row, it's going to be a good show. They're going to leave the audience.
Why are you still doing all of this? Two books in 2 months, Key West tomorrow night, you're in New York now, concerts all over the place. You're 75. Is there no, you know, like, settle down time on you?
All my life I wanted to do and be in the business. How lucky that I'm still able to be in the business. I have a new show coming out. I'm my second year on a sitcom called Z-Rock on IFC channel. I do my concerts. I run my jewelry company. How lucky I'm not left sitting in the corner farting. I mean, I think this is amazing.
Johnny Carson and you famously fell out. You were the number
nasty
one.
Man.
What happened? It was nasty from the beginning, or did it get nasty as you got to know each other better?
Nasty man, cold, nasty man. Not a nice man.
Made your career in many ways with that incredibly prominent position filling in for him.
He made my career, and I thanked him for 20 years. And when I left, he was the first one I called, and he tried to kill me off and destroy me. I have never seen such anger and didn't talk to me for the rest of his life. I'd walk into a restaurant and say hello to him, wouldn't answer me. Very, very lonely, very enclosed, very angry man.
Let's go to Ted in Montpelier, Vermont. Ted, you're on the air with Joan Rivers.
Hi, Joan. Hi there. I guess my question I had when you were talking about all the red carpet stuff was, who's the celebrity that was the nicest or that you enjoyed the most, and who was the worst?
Oh, good questions. The nicest, George Clooney's fabulous. Tom Hanks is amazing. Julia Roberts, adorable. God, who I love. So Chris Rock, you just want to put your arms around him. You know, there's so many that you just love as they walk down the red carpet. Halle Berry, terrific. Robin Williams. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. The most, two horrors. One is the Australian, I always block his name, Tommy Lee Jones is the other one, and then Russell Crowe.
Horrors why?
Nasty. They think that the entitlement oozes out of Tommy Lee. The pain to have to talk to swine. I am so above it all. I went to Yale. Oh, who cares? You know. And I went to Barnard. Go to hell. I mean, it's the entitlement behind this man. And Russell Crowe, again, so nasty to allegedly, I'm going to say, to all the, you know, my husband was English. He always said, yell only at your peers. You do not yell at a makeup person. You do not yell at a car park. You do not yell at a waiter because they cannot answer you back.
Mel Gibson.
You yell at someone can say, oh, yeah, back at you.
You were very tough on Mel Gibson after his anti-Semitic outburst when he was drunk. Mel Gibson should die was the headline that came out of
you. Yes, Mel Gibson is a pig. Mel Gibson is an anti-Semitic, angry, little dwarfed.
Are you into politics, geopolitics, all that? Jon Stewart on The Daily Show, being very critical about the whole Gaza situation lately and Israel's role there. How do you look at that?
I think that if somebody sent 60,000 missiles at New York, we'd step on them and crush them. I am so tired of hearing the poor Palestinians and those poor civilians. Meanwhile, Hamas is in the civilians' houses. Nobody is saying the poor Israelis who've had 60,000 missiles thrown at them. This is madness. This is madness on such a world stage that I don't get it.
Jon Stewart seems to look at it the other way around. I'm sure he's a smart guy. He sees both sides.
And you know what? Good. Let's throw some rockets at Jon Stewart's house. Let's do that for 7 years. Let's do that to all Jon Stewart's family. And when Jon Stewart turns around and says stop, we'll say, how dare you say stop?
Avery in Newton, Massachusetts. You're on the air.
Hey, Joan. It's awesome to talk to you. I'm reading a book right now called Something Wonderful Right Away, which you contributed a chapter to. And I was wondering if I could hear you talk about your experience being one of the only women in a company dominated by men. I mean, second city, of course, you know what I mean.
Yes.
In Chicago, Avery. Is that
Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chicago. And how that informed your career, and how what you learned doing improv so much informed your stand-up.
When was that, Jonah? What did you learn from it?
Late '60s. Oh, I learned that what I thought was funny, they thought was funny. I learned go with the moment. It was the turning point of my life, Second City in Chicago, because you got on stage with a smart audience and you could say what you thought right away, and you were working with actors that were very, very smart opposite you. It was Avery, it was bliss. I still improvise. Every night in my shows, I improvise because I love working from the moment. I love working from what's just happened. It was great. It was a tough time. All men, nobody gave you. Nobody said, come in. Oh, Joan, you'll do this. You had to find your way among those guys, and they were very strong, tough guys at Second City. But it was, God, you flew at night. You never touched the ground of the stage.
You were the only woman still looking to be maybe an actress then. But in comedy, do you think the prejudice is gone now? You know, Christopher Hitchens writing recently, for some reason, women do not find their own physical decay and absurdity to be riotously amusing. The old Samuel Johnson saying, you know, a woman preaching is like a dog walking on its hind legs, that kind of male down the nose at women comics. Is that over? Is that history, Joe?
I think that's pretty much history. But men still want a beautiful flower on their arm. You know, I'll make you laugh for 3 hours and you'll still take somebody else. You'll still take Nicole Kidman home.
You say men find funny women threatening. They ask me, is you, are you going to be funny in bed?
Yeah. I was literally asked that several times. You going to be funny in bed?
What's your answer?
I was funny in bed. What are you going to do? It is funny sometimes.
Oh, boy. Joan, it's great. It's great talking with you. You're still having a good time, and we're glad to hear it. Are you going to go back on the red carpet? Are you finished with that?
If they ask us, we'll go. Absolutely. Melissa and I loved it. We our contract was up with TV Guide, and that was that for a while. But we're on to a Celebrity Apprentice. Melissa's got another show going. I've got another show going. You know, life moves on. You can't look back.
Joan Rivers' new book is Men Are Stupid and They Like Big Boobs, A Woman's Guide to Beauty Through Plastic Surgery. Look in February for her murder mystery, Murder at the Academy Awards. She joined us from New York. Joan Rivers, thank you very much.
A pleasure. I'm a big fan of yours. Thank you for the great hour.
Joan Rivers, thanks for joining us. Listeners, you can continue the conversation and download the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. On Point is produced by Julie Jopp, Sam Gail Rosen, Ping Wong, Eileen Amata, Stefano Katsonis, Hillary McQuilkin, Tanya Riley, James Ross, Karen Schiffman, and John Wibby, with help from Kathy Corman. Our senior producer is Wen Stevenson. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.